My name is Miles Mandelson. I'm chairman of Great Asby Broadband.
Great Asby Broadband, what have you done? I take it Great Asby's the village where you live.
That's right. It's a small village, 5 miles outside of Appleby. It's a very pleasant setting, surrounded by hills, and has no conventional broadband access whatsoever.
So what have you done to solve that?
Right, well, we've done two things. We have managed to connect to the fibre internet connection that was originally put in for the benefit of our local primary school. So we take a share of that bandwidth, which we pay for. That's the first thing. The second thing we've done is to create a wireless network that distributes that connection around the village. So subscribers manage to access the internet using a wireless connection from their own home into our network.
How much did all of this cost to put in?
Well, I can't tell you exactly because some of it was in before I got involved, but I would think overall, in terms of the capital cost, around £10,000.
So that would be what, less than £1,000 per head of population, quite considerably less, I would imagine.
Oh, yes. Yes, indeed. I mean, the Great Asby has a population of around about 200 people. We have 58 subscribers. That's 58 households connected to our network. How many users we have is a difficult question to answer, but probably as many as that again, if not more.
And what sort of speed are they getting?
On a good day, they can get up to 2 megabits per second. On a not-so-good day or a not-so-good time of day, then it probably drops to 1 or below 1 megabit.
But that's better than what they had before.
It's certainly better than dial-up, which is what they had before, yes.
How easy was it to access this fat pipe coming into the school? Because that is it's a publicly owned fat pipe, isn't it?
Well, it is, and I think we've been very lucky to have been able to do that. The network is run by an organisation called Clio, and I think it's fair to say that Clio are a little ambivalent about general use of their network for these purposes. We did actually rationalise the situation by taking our connection out of the school and putting it into the village hall. So physically, we don't interfere with school operation at all. The connection, although it uses the same pipe back to the internet, is actually physically separate. And that, I think, has made things easier, certainly from their point of view.
You don't slow things down for the school?
Well, certainly not.
There's a lot of people on.
They get a much bigger share of the bandwidth than we do. We are planning to replace our network over the next 3 months or so with a better wireless technology solution, but also to increase our bandwidth. But to do that, we're going to have to pay a lot more money to buy that bandwidth. We hope to increase it up to 10 megabits per second.
So at the moment, how much do your customers pay you to get their internet access?
They pay us £20 a month. That's the standard subscription. They don't incur any caps on data transmission. It's a community network. We share it, and we understand and appreciate that on some parts of the day there are a lot of people using it, and so the speeds tend to slow down a bit. But over the 24-hour cycle, people get more or less just about enough that they need to do what they're currently doing.
How much did this whole project depend upon having good leadership within the community? Was it the fact that there were people like yourself and maybe several others who were determined to drive this through and make it available for everybody?
Yeah, I think that's a very important point. I mean, the network was set up some 5 or 6 years ago, but without any clear organisational basis to it. There was a bit of a sort of hero innovator approach going on at the time, which we tried to capture and formalise. And one of the key things that we did was to form a community interest company with a proper constitution, proper terms and conditions, proper operation.